You're listening to the AHDB Cereals and Oilseeds podcast. Highlights from your arable levy organisation.
Hello and welcome to the AHDB Cereals and Oilseeds podcast. I'm Vicky Campbell, and this episode we're looking back at the AHDB Grain Market Outlook Conference, which was held in the middle of October. Global markets have been increasingly volatile this year. Extreme weather conditions in key growing areas have impacted supply, and political posturing has affected demand trade flows. At this year's Grain Market Outlook Conference, we look to shed some light on the impact of these events on both global and domestic markets. Phil Bicknell, Market Intelligence Director at AHDB, alongside Helen Plant, who's a senior analyst at AHDB, gave delegates a perspective of how the UK market has fared this season. Here's Phil with a short overview of the session.
Grain Market Outlook, firmly established as part of the events calendar for us at AHDB, it's where people from across the grain trade get together. Ultimately, there's an awful lot that's happening in the cereals industry in any given year. This year, we've probably got the added complexity, added question marks over Brexit. We've obviously gone through some challenging times in terms of weather that characterised the growing season in 2018, also drought and the concerns. So some of the key talking points today, and we're never short of them at any Grain Market Outlook, but I think this year, top of mind has been the impact of the weather and the drought out on the cereals industry, talking points around Brexit and what that could start to mean, and also a little bit of thinking about the challenges and pressures that we face in our supply chain anyway and what we can start to do about them. From my perspective, what we were here to focus on was talk about the UK crop. So where are we in terms of wheat and oilseeds, in terms of current production at harvest 2018? And the weather has no doubt impacted on overall product output and overall production levels. But in the scheme of things, yes, we're down, but we're not down by anywhere near the levels that perhaps some people anticipated earlier in the year. The positive that we've got is probably in terms of quality, which has held up pretty well. Certainly, again, when we start comparing it to expectations, I think we're in a relatively good place from a UK angle. Of course, more importantly, when we talk about cereals and oilseeds, it's not all about what is happening at the UK, it's about what is happening at the global level. That is where the true supply and demand and ultimately the pricing dynamics come from.
AHDB was delighted to welcome Dr. Seth Mayer, who's the mastermind behind the USDA's WASDE reports, to deliver the keynote speech. He covered the global cereals markets, the factors driving movements this season, and what to keep a watch on.
I'm here to provide an international outlook for the grains and oilseeds markets. My job is to do this on a monthly basis on one of the principal federal economic indicator reports for the U.S. government. As a U.S. government official, I have no opinion about Brexit per se, but we're interested in understanding more about how it might affect the way your country trades. We also are here to provide an international outlook because the country will obviously be facing different market forces, and we're here to give our view on the grains and oilseeds market. In the international market, there's a lot of issues with trade. There's always issues with weather and production around the world, but there's a lot of issues with trade and changes in trade. The U.S. trade agreements with Mexico and Canada, U.S. trade friction with China, and then you obviously all have your own trade issues as well. Very happy to come and learn more about the internal UK industry and as well as how the UK interacts with its trading partners. Part of this is simply for us to be here to explain, to provide our view of the global marketplace and its importance to the UK industry. In the US, we are large traders. We depend on global trade, so we like to a view of international markets is absolutely essential for us. So we come here, we tell our view on the global marketplace. That's one of our aims here, and to show how we go about doing business and inform folks of what it is we think is important.
There are, for us, lots of things that we're paying attention to, and again, the tariffs have a large impact on production around the world. So we've got Russian wheat exports and potential export controls. The market is very sensitive to what the Russians are saying about their own export controls. Feed grain, we're looking at global feed grain supplies. The oilseed market seems well supplied, mostly because the U.S. is holding a tremendous amount of stocks. But things are tighter in the corn, barley, and sorghum markets. Developments in the trade dispute with China, we've talked a lot about that. That'll overhang the market. Chinese soybean import activity and policy changes. Again, I think the next 4 months are crucial as to how this all turns out. The Chinese will attempt to get through the next 4 months without importing from the United States. Soybean South American planting decisions, again, solidify these effects and make it drag out for additional six-month periods at a time. Argentina's export taxes and fiscal situation. Argentina, a big competitor, but you've seen they put export taxes back on corn and wheat exports. Brazil's continue to have transportation issues, and all of this comes down to what U.S. producers will produce in the coming year in terms of will this impact on soybean prices continue to push us into corn and wheat markets in the coming year.
Charles Clack, commodity analyst from Rabobank, provided delegates with an insightful view of global oilseeds markets.
I work in the Agri-Commodity Markets Research Department, so covering grains and oilseed markets and forecasting prices into the 12 to 18 month period. So we're here today to present Rabobank's views and research on these markets, on the oilseed markets in particular, covering rapeseed, soybeans and palm oil. With Brexit around the corner, we're looking at a period of uncertainty in the next few months and really trying to deliver some sort of answers around what's going to be happening and how I guess UK growers and industry players can thrive after things change very dramatically, potentially come March of next year. In the oilseed markets, we do see in the rapeseed market some tightness both in the EU and globally. We see supplies getting tighter, and that's kind of supportive for prices. But unfortunately, we aren't in an island in rapeseed, and the sort of the global picture when it comes to the broader oilseed complex is actually very well supplied and could be seen as sort of more bearish. So we do see, I guess, a bit of support on rapeseed prices, but looking ahead, the challenge is really how growers and industry players in the UK are able to benefit from tighter rapeseed and potentially ward off those threats from the broader picture. Also, the big, I guess, another huge subject for oilseeds is around US and China trade wars, which is impacting soybean markets very significantly. So, of course, there's still, like Brexit, a lot of uncertainty there. Of course, these global developments seem all kind of very much at a political level, but they have dig right down, they have real big impacts right at the farm level.
So, finally, really, I want to just provide some of our price expectations. Prices remaining elevated, capped by a very heavy balance sheet from global oilseeds, but perhaps looking more supportive later on as wheat acres are favoured over oilseeds and alternatives. On the soybeans and palm oil price-wise, we do see prices remaining really quite low, staying pretty much below that $9 mark on beans. Towards the end of the year, we do see some upside demand creeping in and providing that, but it's relatively still very, very low. On palm oil, we also see prices, we see that production increase, keeping those prices steady, and not much uptick later on. The one aspect I haven't mentioned with palm oil is El Nino. Now, El Nino in 2016 reduced palm oil stocks, I think about 13%, taking prices to 4.5-year highs. So El Nino is now forecast by NOAA at about a 75% certainty this winter. Obviously, depends on the intensity. So this does not account for El Nino. If so, we could see upside risk here. And finally, then, the products. Pretty neutral, pretty boring. We're looking at sort of meal being well supplied and staying relatively neutral. And in terms of soybean oil, we do see some upside, perhaps longer term, given demand strength creeping in towards the end of next year.
Christoph Walter of Christoph Walter Associates led a thought-provoking session covering supply chains. He covered areas such as what makes a good supply chain and what could the cereals and oilseed supply chain learn from other industries.
My name is Christoph Walter. I'm running a consulting company for sustainable agriculture and agri-investments. Key messages are about collaboration in the cereal supply chains or in the grain supply chain. They're about using information, passing information up and down the supply chain. And they're about the heightened importance of collaboration in the supply chain because of the current climate, because of Brexit, because of changes in the retail sector, and because of climate change. So cereal supply chains often give the impression of being relatively disjointed. It's different players doing different things and everyone trying to protect their patch. Whereas we can see that if you look at other industries, if you look at some other food supply chains, there's much stronger collaboration, much stronger sharing of information between different players along that supply chain. And wherever people engage in that form of supply chain and supply chain organization, they realize that there are very large benefits that come from that collaboration. And I think the time is ripe for the cereal supply chains, for the grain supply chains, to copy some of those modes of action and learn a little bit from other industries and explore what opportunities can be realized through greater collaboration. Well, the dangers that inefficiencies can lodge within a supply chain without being noticed if you don't work together. And frankly, I don't think it is a time any longer where we can afford inefficiencies at this scale. And if you work together on getting rid of these efficiencies, of straightening the supply chains, of using your resources better, then everybody benefits. There is value that's freed up within the supply chain that can be distributed between the different actors.
The conference concluded with a panel session with representatives from a range of processors. Unsurprisingly, Brexit was a key area for discussion.
One of the other big question marks is around no-deal Brexit and what that means. And I think it was really interesting hearing from the panel that everyone is struggling with those sorts of issues. There's still the potential to not have a Brexit deal in place by the time we exit. Although obviously the government intention is to try and work towards a deal, that is a big area of uncertainty. Against that, I guess I'm left thinking, well, what can we do as farmers to prepare? We've already planted crops that are going to be harvested in a post-Brexit world. One of the things that actually we've been continuing to look at is to, and the message we're trying to get across to farmers, is actually think about and understand what you can influence and maybe don't focus all your energies on things like trade policy or farming policy, ultimately, that are beyond your gift as an individual, certainly beyond my gift as an individual. For us, it was also an opportunity for us to talk about some of our latest Brexit work, our latest Horizon report that looks at some of the characteristics of some of the best performing farm businesses in the UK. And you know, some of the key factors that we talk about won't be news to many, but it's worth reinforcing. It's around relentless cost control, understanding your fixed cost base, understanding the market, attention to detail. In all, there's eight key characteristics that we explore. So it's a great opportunity for us to talk to the cereals industry about that latest piece of work. I think that linked in really well with one of the speakers we had today talking about the supply chain and actually the strength of relationships, or not as the case may be, through agricultural supply chains. I said one of the areas is really about understanding the market. When I take a step back and look at agricultural commodities as a whole, we're probably quite confrontational in terms of some of those relationships. There's much more potential, I think, to be much better aligned, to have stronger linkages. As ever, I think some of the initial discussions or questions that farmers ultimately have is, well, will this give me a better price or will it give me a longer term deal? Those might not always be on offer, but what else is there from a benefit perspective to help us drive more value out of the supply chain as a whole, rather than just focus on the headline price? I think that needs probably an attitude change from all people in the supply chain. And I think if we're to have a competitive grain sector, competitive agriculture, we need to adapt some of that changing mindset and do things a little differently. I think we're in for a really interesting 12 months from an agricultural perspective. Clearly, we've got Brexit, and that is going to impact a whole host of issues, not just in the agriculture sector, but across the wider food industry. We're in 12 months' time. What kind of things will we be talking about? Well, ultimately, for cereals, a lot of it has to do with global fundamentals. So I expect we'll be talking about supply and demand. I expect weather might get a mention. I expect we'll still be talking about future policy and how that might impact in terms of agriculture. Ultimately, I think we'll be looking at what we're trying to do as AHDB is to help farmers succeed in what is a rapidly changing world. And there's no doubt that our world is rapidly changing.
All the presentations from the conference can be found on the website. As ever, AHDB will continue to provide unbiased market commentary in this ever-changing environment to enable you to make informed business decisions.